And everyone, please turn in your Bibles to the end of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 to 24. Ephesians 6, verses 21 to 24. Hear now the Word of God. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. We come now to the end of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I ask you a question. Why did Paul write the letter to the Ephesians? Why? Look at verse 21 of our text today. Paul wanted his friends in Christ Jesus to know my affairs and how I am doing. Certainly one of the reasons that Paul wrote could be as simple as that. Paul had many Christian friends whom he had not seen for some time. Paul, as we know, was now in chains. He was in prison. And given how the news could easily flow in the Roman Empire, his friends in Christ may well have heard that he was in prison. And certainly some of them may have been overly worried and anxious about his condition in prison. Perhaps Paul remembered how worried he himself was when his friend Titus was in a situation where Paul wondered what happened to him. Paul worried about Titus, not knowing his condition. On that occasion, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul said, "When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." He was worried. He had no rest in his spirit about the condition of his brother in Christ, Titus. So having experienced such personal distress himself over the condition of another Christian, another brother in Christ, Titus, Paul here was prepared to minister to the distressed who may have worried and were anxious in their own spirit about his condition. Paul comforted other Christians then over his own condition, and we know that he did this on more than one occasion, not just here. Paul wrote to the Philippians, for example, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Paul said this, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Here he was in prison also. "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul comforted other Christians about his condition in prison, being in chains, and here they were emboldened to speak the word of Christ without fear, having their anxieties comforted. So look at the middle of verse 21 of our text. Paul was sending Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, and he says he will make all things known to you. Please follow along with today's sermon using the outline that is in the bulletin. Point one, Tychicus, verses 21 and 22. Tychicus is one of the unsung heroes of the New Testament church. He's a hero, but we don't sing about him much. Many perhaps haven't heard of him before. Tychicus was a godly man that most of us just don't know much about. Why did the Apostle Paul send him? Why did he send him? Well, the few references that we find to Tychicus in the New Testament show him to have been a man of considerable spiritual maturity. He was a godly man. He was originally from Asia. We know that from Acts chapter 20, verse 4. So it's possible that he was also from Ephesians. He was also from Ephesus, that Ephesians was being written to, since Ephesus was in Asia Minor, on the coast. So Paul may have been sending Tychicus to where he was from. Tychicus joined Paul's apostolic ministry during his life there and with Paul, and he served the Apostle Paul as a trusted friend. Tychicus was trusted by the Apostle Paul to carry this letter to the Ephesians, and he also carried Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's mentioned in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. So certainly, Tychicus had to have been an individual that Paul trusted to be able to write these letters to the Colossians, to the Ephesians, and trust that Tychicus would be loyal and would get the job done and get these letters delivered. But there are other reasons we can say that Tychicus was a godly man, a Christian who walked worthy of the calling to which he was called, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Remember, Ephesians 4, 1 is the pivoting turn in Ephesians. Ephesians 1 through 3, chapters 1 through 3 is primarily on doctrine, biblical teachings, about God's great and glorious plan of salvation. And chapters 4 through 6 is primarily on applying it, the worthy walk, having a balanced, worthy walk with the biblical teaching in our life and the lifestyle that's worthy of the calling for which we are called. Tychicus is a Christian who had a worthy walk. He walked worthy of the calling for which he was called. Let me ask another question. How many remember a slave in the Bible named Onesimus? Onesimus. Maybe you never heard of Tychicus, but perhaps you've heard of Onesimus. Onesimus was an individual who was a runaway slave. He is one who had run away from his master. He became a Christian while a slave. And Tychicus is the one who accompanied Onesimus back to Colossae, and this story is recorded in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, and also the letter to Philemon that we have in the New Testament. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Philemon, which was also presumably carried by Tychicus. Maybe he was the greatest postman in the New Testament. It says a great deal, though, about Tychicus' Christian character, his grace, his wisdom, that Tychicus was entrusted with brokering the return of a Christian slave, Onesimus, back to his Christian master, Philemon, as well as carrying the Apostle Paul's letters. At the end of the Apostle Paul's life, Tychicus was one who stood with Paul in his days of imprisonment. The Apostle Paul, when he was anxious to see his beloved Timothy again, he sent Tychicus again to Ephesus in the hope that Timothy would be able to come and see Paul one last time. That's recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Scholars also wonder if Tychicus carried Paul's second letter to Timothy. It's very possible. It's also possible that Tychicus had acted as Paul's scribe, putting the Apostle Paul's words in writing, and perhaps even discussing with the Apostle Paul the contents of Ephesians. Significantly, Tychicus, upon delivering the letter to the Ephesians, may have been the first pastor, the first minister to expound and preach upon Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we have studied. Now, mentioning Tychicus in our text today, it seemed to be a passing reference of no real significance when you read it. Like, what's the big deal of that? But we find a pattern that regularly appears in the Apostle Paul's letters. The individuals that he mentions, they tend to be living illustrations, working examples of the truth Paul is writing about and the lifestyle to which we are called in the gospel. Look at the end of verse 21. Look at the end of verse 21 in our text. Tychicus is described by Paul as a faithful minister in the Lord. A faithful minister in the Lord, and one who will make all things known to you. Will make all things known to you. Now, does this mean all things about Paul? Or does this mean all things in this letter to the Ephesians? That he will make all things known to you. All things in this letter. In other words, is Paul saying, if you need something in this letter to the Ephesians explained, if you're still puzzled about election from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, or you're still puzzled about redemption in Ephesians 1, 7, or on sanctification and the Holy Spirit's application of it all to us. We're wondering about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it works out in our home life, in our marriages, with our family, or in our workplaces. It's covered in Ephesians 5 and 6. If you're still confused about putting on the whole armor of God in your spiritual battles against the devil and his demons, if you're still confused about those things, ask Tychicus. He will make all things known to you. The end of verse 21. That could be what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote that. It's possible. In addition, Tychicus, well, I should say this, for those of us who have read Ephesians, are you growing up into the maturity of Christ? So that you now are able to make all things known to others that are in Ephesians of God's great and glorious gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, can you explain it? The many blessings that you have in Christ. Remember, the theme of Ephesians is Ephesians 1:3. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Can you list them? Can you explain them? Of election and predestination, of redemption, of our inheritance through the sealed by the Holy Spirit, that He's the one that made us alive in Christ through regeneration, gave us the gift of faith, that we are now living a life of good works out of love and thanks to please Him. That also should be us, following Tychicus's example. In addition, Tychicus was sent by the Apostle Paul, look at the end of verse 22, that he may comfort your hearts. That he may comfort your hearts. Together, these two men went out of their way to encourage and comfort God's people. They saw that as the chief function of their ministry, to comfort one another. The story of Tychicus should cause us to pray, to be thinking along these lines. Lord, in my life, in my sphere of service, to the people that I know, please make me like Tychicus. Make me a godly person in Jesus Christ who walks worthy of the calling for which I am called. That I would be able to comfort others, other brothers and sisters in Christ, to help them understand God's great and glorious gospel in Jesus. Lord, make that happen if you are willing. Paul was prepared to send out the best Christian men he knew to help others. Now think about that a minute, carefully. The Apostle Paul did not keep them jealously to himself. He did not keep them jealously to himself, but sent them out. The Apostle Paul was filled with love of his brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's a lesson here for all of us in the church, of loving one another, being more concerned with others than ourselves. Think of 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And the Apostle Paul loved his brothers and sisters in Christ by sending Tychicus to them along with his letter to the Ephesians. Point two, the benediction. The benediction in verses 23 and 24. Verses 23 and 24 says, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Ephesians, if you remember, Ephesians begins with a doxology. The word doxology is a compound of two words, doxa and logos. Doxa and logos. And together they encompass the idea of a word of praise, a word of praise to God for all the blessings he has graciously given us in Jesus Christ. Logos, a word. Doxa, praise, a word of praise to God for all of the blessings that he has given us graciously in Jesus Christ. That's doxology. That's what Ephesians began with. Think of Ephesians 1:3, which is also the theme of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We're praising God, saying he should be blessed, spoken well of. Why? For all that he has done for us in speaking well of us, in blessing us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians now concludes with a benediction, which is a pronouncement of blessing from God to his people. Benediction, a blessing from God to his people. The doxology at the beginning of Ephesians blessed God. Now Paul closes his letter as God's spokesman, blessing his people. He says, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Again, in the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul praised our Heavenly Father for what he has done for us and given to us through his only begotten Son, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of it is applied to us through the Holy Spirit. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Three times there, we remember, it's all to the glory of God. It's all to the glory of God. To God alone be the glory. And once it stresses to the glory of God's grace, right? To the riches of His grace. Now, in the last two verses of Ephesians, Paul traces the blessings that are applied to us through the Holy Spirit back to the source in the Son of God and the Heavenly Father. And he thus brings a gracious closure to all that he has taught us in Ephesians. Now, listen, just as Tychicus can be seen as embodying the lifestyle which the whole letter of Ephesians endorsed and taught, the benediction perfectly summarizes the blessings of Christ that the whole letter has expounded. Say it again. Just as Tychicus can be seen as embodying the lifestyle which the whole letter of Ephesians endorsed and taught, the benediction here in verses 23 and 24 perfectly summarizes the blessings of Christ that the whole letter has expounded. Thus, Paul gives what amounts to a threefold summary of the blessings that we receive in Christ. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wishes peace to the brethren. To you and I who have been adopted into God's family, remember in Ephesians 1:5, this is our eternal destiny. Predestined to be adopted as God's sons. As God's sons, so that now every one of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul wishes peace to the brethren. Peace is not only the ending of separation and hostilities, but also the reestablishing of fellowship from broken relationships. The peace here is shalom. Shalom. Which means well-being. Well-being. And it's very, very inclusive. It comes from being set free from sin and the evil spiritual beings that bind and destroy sinners. We saw that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. We see it in our spiritual battles as Christians, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. This peace also comes from being reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. It comes from working this out in loving relationships with one another. Peace to the brethren means well-being in all of life, with God and with men. With God and with men. In Ephesians, Paul has given us a vivid picture how that peace, how that well-being has been accomplished in our lives in the most basic relationships of marriage, as we saw in Ephesians 5, 22 and following, and in family, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, in the workplace, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. In addition, Paul prays that his readers will experience not just peace, but love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We know God has demonstrated His love for us as sinners since the whole plan of salvation began when He elected us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world that we should be holy in love. Ephesians 1:4. It began with God's electing love, God's whole great plan of salvation, His love for us as sinners. Think about the work of Christ in redemption, Ephesians 1:7, manifesting God's love. And in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, by which we cry, Abba, Father, we're adopted. Our inheritance is sealed, Ephesians 1:13 and 14. The Apostle Paul has taught how that love is expressed in us and through us in the body of Christ. as he referred to repeatedly about the body of Christ in Ephesians chapters 3 and 4 and 5. Paul has explained that faith does not come naturally to us. But we were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And goes on to say that by grace have you been saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So he says, "Peace to the brethren and love with faith." And he's made clear that that faith is a gift from God's grace that we did not deserve. God, by his grace, has brought us to faith in Christ, raising us to spiritual life from spiritual death. He delivered us from spiritual bondage to the devil and his demons. We had walked according to the course of the prince of the air. We were sons of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And we are adopted into his family as sons, which is our eternal destiny. This letter closes with a prayer for the blessing of the whole church of God. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Here then, in the end of Ephesians, we're returning to the beginning of Ephesians, to the source of all blessing, the cause of all doxology, the cause of all praise to God, his grace. His grace. God's love and favor displayed to sinners all because of Christ. God's favor to us on account of Christ and all that Christ has done. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. It is all to the glory of God's grace. And that is why the Apostle Paul ends Ephesians with prayer for the blessing of the whole church. God's grace. To be blessed with God's grace. Think of Paul's life verse in Ephesians chapter 15, verse 10. "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me." The grace that we are saved by is the very grace we live by now, and it's the grace that we look forward to in heaven. Do you remember in Ephesians 1, 17 through 21, the Apostle Paul, he had already prayed that the reader's spiritual sight would be open to understand the greatness of God's love. Ephesians 1, 17 to 21, Paul prayed this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Which is why he is now the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is above all principality and power and might and dominion. What a prayer. When the greatness of God's love to us as sinners is understood, when seen through the eyes of faith, it's met with an answering love. We respond with love to God when we understand God's great love to us in Christ. We respond to God with love to him, a love that cannot be corrupted, a love that will never die, a love that will last for eternity, a love that seeks to please God by obeying him in all things. John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you remember when the risen Lord Jesus restored the Apostle Peter for ministry at the end of the gospel according to John. In John chapter 21, verses 15 through 18. John 21, 15 through 18. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." To truly know God is to love God. To truly know God is to love God. And one of the ways that one shows this love to God is by feeding the sheep. Feeding other Christians. What are they to be fed with? The Word of God and the teachings of Christ. Long for the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. One who loves God obeys the Great Commission. One who loves God obeys the Great Commission by sharing the teachings of Christ. The Great Commission's recorded in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." How does this apply to the end of Ephesians? Verse 24 of our text says, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. The Apostle Paul's closing desire here, his closing desire then, is that the grace of God he has explained, that he has taught in his letter to the Ephesians, will be the grace that each one of us have experienced, and it will be the grace that turns the world upside down. Acts 17:6. As we live for the glory of God in all things, with love and thanks for all that God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who rules over all things. That is what Ephesians was written to teach us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the theme of Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." To the glory of God, to the glory of God's grace. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your word. As Jesus said, your word is truth. And as Jesus also said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but upon every word that proceeds out of your mouth." These words are precious. They proclaim your great and glorious salvation. You've laid out and unveiled to us the great plan of salvation from eternity past. How you have accomplished it in Christ and applied it through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would follow Tychicus, his example. How he was one who could explain the gospel to others. How he was one who loved others, sought to comfort others, who was trustworthy, who walked worthy of the calling with which he was called. Lord, we know apart from Christ we can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. But by abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us, we can bear much fruit. Lord, I pray with Christ abiding in us through the Holy Spirit that we would follow Tychicus' example, that each of us would walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. As we think about this great plan and our call to be sons of you, and may we show it through love of you and obedience. Lord, you have saved us completely and only in Christ. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. Nothing we do as a Christian earns heaven. But you have saved us in Christ and Christ alone, by your grace, through faith alone in him, that we might, through love and thanks, live for you and be a light that shines in a dark place as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that each one of us would be faithful ambassadors to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As John Bunyan clearly illustrated in Pilgrim's Progress, we are living in the city of destruction. We are pilgrims, aliens and sojourners, traveling through the city of destruction on the narrow way to the celestial heavenly city. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and this time to judge with wrath and anger. And only those who are in the ark of Christ will be saved from the flood of your wrath that is coming against sin. I pray that every one of us, as we look forward to the consummation of our salvation, the return of Christ, the receiving of our full inheritance in heaven, may we, dear Lord, call on others to repent, to turn from idolatry, to turn to serve you and live for you, to rest in Jesus and Jesus alone for the forgiveness of sins. May we share the good news of the gospel with those around us. And may you grow your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.